Hello and welcome to the Challenge Podcast, where we discuss all things public service in Singapore. I'm your host, Douglas O'Loughlin, an organization development consultant and a former public officer. This season of the podcast is focusing on well-being. We are starting the discussion with a chat with two public officers from the Ministry of Health's Office for Healthcare Transformation, or MOHT. They are Dr. Tan Hueng Moy, who's director and co-head of Integrated Health Promotion, and Ms. Janice Wang, who's a senior assistant director from the same division. So welcome to our podcast, Hueng Moy and Janice. Thank you so much for being part of it. How are you all doing today? And Chapalama, have you eaten yet?
Chapala.
Yes, had a good lunch.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Now, you may wonder why we open with that question. Well, we're checking in to see how we're doing. So are you okay would be another way to say that. But thank you really so much for being here. You know, we're looking at mental wellness, and we know that at MOHT, you're focusing a lot on mental wellness, and here we are as well for this season's Challenge Podcast. So can you tell us a little bit more about what you all do there?
So MOHT stands for Office for Healthcare Transformation. Mm. So we are a unit that is set up by MOH about 3 years ago. In fact, we just celebrated our third year anniversary. It was set up to look into how we can partner the various stakeholders to look into the transformation of healthcare and anchoring on three fundamentals. One of them is how to use data to help drive better decision-making. I mean, just like COVID, right? We rely quite a bit on the data. And then the other part is then to see how we could empower our people, our partners, to be able to make better decisions and able to perhaps be more efficient and effective using digital solutions. And the third part is, very importantly, is to see how we could make the healthcare system be able to provide what we call value-based healthcare, making sure care is appropriate, cost-effective. So those are the three fundamentals. So our work here, Janice and I, belongs to the unit called InHealth. InHealth stands for Integrated Health Promotion. So what we do is to look into how we could work with the community people and see how we could help to promote healthy lifestyle, to understand what does it take for people to keep a good, healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, as part of InHealth, then one of the key thrusts that we have is to look at building mental wellness and resilience in the population. And one of the first initiatives that we have developed is MyLine.sg. So it is a one-stop wellness platform to get people to increase their knowledge of like what self-care means for them, is to get access to the resources that are out there in the community and be connected to the different providers in case they might need it at some point in their lives.
Your work sounds very complex that you do, and many different stakeholders and lots of complexity. How do you all take care of each other? How do you make sure that you're ready to take on such challenging work, it sounds like, I guess, for each of you, I suppose.
I think we have a very caring environment in MOHT. I think the leaders, they take it upon themselves to check in with each other and to check in with their employees, right? So I think it's quite a regular thing that we would do, like lunchtime over the Zoom. I mean, now we are just starting to go back to office, but during the last year, I think we had multiple like lunch sessions where we'll play games and just generally check in with each other. And I think we started like a buddy system as well. We had this buddy check-in that would, you know, once a week tell us, are you okay? Are you feeling, you know, are you having any symptoms? Is there something that we need to do to support you? So that was some of the initiatives that we started.
I must add in, actually, it start with, I think, our ED, Professor Tan Chua Chuan.
Right.
He is really a very caring and visionary, of course, right? And he speak with a lot of vision and respect. And that is really key, right? And in fact, this Monday, we started to go back to office. And the first thing he did was he bought some chocolates and snacks. So I think, yes, the leaders. And of course, importantly, is the individual. Reminding each other, for example, we have a weekly meeting among our own InHealth team. So sometimes I get very intense, right? Wow, in the meeting, keep chasing for you know, deadlines and things. And so, you know, we have interns that say, look, maybe we should have a 5 minutes exercise. So we started to build in an exercise, you know, in our meeting regularly. So people learn to sort of take a break and take a step back and not like just looking at the problems and the issues and forgot about the fact that, you know, we should just ask each other. And maybe Janice, you want to share, she's a yoga, you know, she specialized in yoga, went all the way to India. I was like so impressed, right?
Yeah, I mean, pre-COVID, I did do like some sessions for like my own in-health teammates. So, I mean, it's my passion. I think it's important to self-care. So I think it's important to lead by example in the work that we do.
Wow, it's really great to hear those, and those are very practical practices that any organization can work on. So back to the Mindline, you mentioned Mindline SG, and it is a really fun platform to play in. But there are other platforms out there, and what makes this a little bit different? And yeah, I guess who can access it? Can you share a little bit about that? Yeah.
So we kind of came together with a few key ecosystem partners during the first circuit breaker period in April last year. So we got together IMH, MSF, NCSS, a few of the key players who were already looking into the mental well-being space. You know, we were starting to hear of different heightened stress levels. You know, there were the DOMS, right? So during that time, there were a lot of people with COVID in the DOMS. You know, there were cases of like people doing self-harm, and they were generally worried, right, about the situation back at home as well. So closer to then home, parents were feeling stressed because during that time, schools were closed. So they had additional caregiving responsibilities. We were hearing about increased number of like domestic violence. So, I mean, with all this multitude of like social health issues coming on board together, a few of the key agencies came together to co-create Mindline.sg, and we kind of launched this in June 2020. So anyone with a mobile phone or with internet connection can actually get on board, type in Mindline.sg into their browser and get access to the full range of resources in there. And I think one of the key differentiators of Mindline, as opposed to other platforms or apps out there that you can download off the web app store, is I think because, we took a strong kind of government approach to it, the type of resources that are put there is validated by our team of like psychiatrists, psychologists, and social workers. So everything we put in there, we make sure that it has some literature around it. It does good for the people, and it's something that people can trust to use or to access any of the resources in there. I think secondly, because it's led by MOHT, I think we have the ability to look at it as a public good. So all the resources in there, the ability to chat with Wiser AI chatbot, I think all these are freely available to anyone, which in other cases before this, if Wiser, you had to actually pay for a subscription fee to get access to the rich range of resources. So I would say those are some of the key value propositions of like Mindline.
Yeah. If I may also add on, I think one of the key differentiator is the fact that the team has built in there. It's not just the resources, but it is also you could take a little assessment of your own mental health status. And we use evidence-based clinical assessment tools like PHQ-9, right, and GAD, which is two common mental illnesses that people will face, which is anxiety and depression. Yeah, and those are all validated. And from that, or after you do the assessment, it will then point you, you know, to whether you're quite fine, continue to do more, you know, readings and relaxation, or actually you should now seek help, right? And then we do then list down, where the help that you can get as well. And those help could be some are provided by social service agencies free of charge. If you need more help, perhaps, go into the hospitals and things like that.
So I guess for the listeners who are hearing about this for the first time, what kind of advice would you give them? Like, when should they go in, or how often, or how would they use it optimally?
I think when we conceptualized Mindline, we saw it as something to build good mental health. So, you know, traditionally, when people think about mental health, they might think about mental illness, they might think about schizophrenia. But, you know, when we started this project, we really wanted to destigmatize what mental health means. We wanted it to be about self-care, about empowerment of people to take mental health into their own hands and be able to keep well for as long as they can. So with this as the key principle, then, you know, what we do is to encourage people to go in to do the mental health check-in every 6 months or every year, go in to do self-care activities like meditation, like speaking to Wiser AI chat to share their emotions whenever, you know, they might be, let's say, for example, today you go into office and your boss is like, why didn't you do this? You know, you're late in your timeline. You know, why is this not completed? These are times in which I think someone can go into Mindline and access some of the resources in there to help them to reframe their thoughts and to be, I guess, emotionally more on a stable pathway, I guess.
Okay, that sounds good. You use the term mental health, mental wellness. Some people lump in resilience. Can you deconstruct those terms a bit? How do you like to talk about them? Because, yeah, they get used interchangeably when I think they're quite different. And yeah, I'm sure you can help us with that.
So if you look at the WHO definition of mental health, right? First, we all think that mental health equal to mental illness and equal to people with behavioral problems. But actually, the definition of mental health is people who can function, people who might be able to live on a daily basis, doing the work, enjoying the things that they do, right? And it's not just about absence of illnesses, right? So when you're talking about mental resilience, then it is a way of how our body or mind, right, able to bounce back and able to take the kind of stress that sometimes might be overwhelming. So that's the resilience part. And so truthfully speaking, when we are talking about people with mental disorder, for example, depression, right? So those are mental disorder. Okay, so you have to go through a list of criteria, and there's this what I call Bible of the psychiatrist, right? Diagnostic Service Manual, where they use it to match. And then there are some people who match some part of the signs and symptoms, but don't match completely. So then they are called subclinical. But, you know, we don't see that way. We just say mental health equal to that, right? So that's, I think, is a bit of a misnomer. And personally, I think, and that sometimes creates stigma as well, because people don't understand that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I had a sister who was diagnosed as bipolar under DSM, and I, unfortunately, now a niece also. And yeah, so when you hear things like mental illness, I mean, that's serious stuff, you know, and just because somebody's a bit overwhelmed at work, I don't think we should stigmatize those and get those two confused. They're quite different, right?
Yeah. Right, absolutely. In fact, for, you know, most of us who are in this line, you know, in the area of mental health professional, we usually like to use the word mental health issues, because there are those minor, when you're distressed, sometimes you may, right, you may feel a little bit anxious. But that doesn't mean you have anxiety, right? To say that you have anxiety that needs time, to say that you've not been able to function or not being able to even come out from your house, right? So there's a complete change and there's a dysfunction part of it, yeah?
So if we come back to this, and let's say somebody's listening, does want to check a little bit on their mental health, just out of curiosity, where do you think they should go? Or maybe in the app where might they go to kind of do some of those checks? You mentioned it before, but maybe you can give some specific like directions of how to navigate their way to that.
Maybe just as an introduction, when a user goes into mindline.sg, there's actually two pathways that they can take. One is mindline.sg, so it's more resources for the self, depending on the full range of like life challenges that they might face. Like, for example, if you're having like, you just lost your job, you're having caregiving stress, that's probably the pathway that you can take to explore the site. We do have another product, it's called Mindline at Work. So specifically, Mindline at Work addresses workplace stresses. And I think this might be something suitable for like all of our public servants to actually try out. And in there, there's a place for them to assess their own state of mental well-being using the tool, the self-assessment tool that Wing Wee spoke about earlier. So through there, there's like different protocols, as we call them, that a user might be routed to. And based off on the protocol that they are routed to, there's different types of recommendations that will be provided to them based on how they answer each and every question in the self-assessment tool. So for example, someone who is referred to the well pathway, then there'll be a full range of like self-care exercises like gardening or like speaking to wiser, doing some meditation exercises to keep well. For example, if someone is routed to a moderate or to a crisis path, then there'll be different types of like social service organizations or IMH hotline that they would be recommended to call. Because for in these cases, it is necessary for them to actually speak to a human therapist,
right,
or speak to a human a counselor, right, to get the help that they need.
So how do you see this working, not just for the individuals, but like if you look at agencies and ministries, and how do you see it really impacting the larger system?
When we kind of conceptualized within MOHT that we wanted to do something for working adults, I think DS Zingwoon kind of threw out her hands and said, okay, you know, PSD is willing to partner you on this journey. And I think together with the partnership with PSD, we actually did focus group discussions with a lot of the public servants to understand what are some of the key stresses that they might face in the workplace, and what are some of the resources that together with what their agencies, their government agencies provide, something like MindLine, which is a tech platform, anonymous, you can use it anytime in the day. How can this full suite of like programs and services come together to support you as a public servant, right? So with that, then kind of MindLine at Work was born. And interestingly, I think one of the things that to share is they said, you know, MindLine.sg, when we started out, is like pretty serious, right? Like you talk about mental health, you talk about you need help in different areas of your life. I want MindLine at Work to be something fun, you know, use casual terms like, you know, exactly, right? Personal effectiveness affects us, right? Like, how do we also have conversations with our bosses about, they are the ones who are causing me stress, right? How do I have conversations like this with my boss? And so with that, I think one of the things that we purposely went out to do is we got a comic illustrator to work with us to actually design a series of like comics which illustrates different work situations, stressful work situations in a fun way. That could then relate those situations to the user, which, you know, they could secretly share with their bosses, you know, to start conversations, right?
If I may add on, right, I think there are a couple of things when you talk about at work, right? So first, I think whatever stress, whatever things, that starts with ourselves. So my life at work focus on that person. Then they can you test your mood. And then from there, what are concerns? So for example, somebody who is new, right? Your first 100 days of your work, just like the first 100 day of the US president, right? Each of us go through the bits of the anxiety, right? Or maybe, how do I deal with my supervisor? You know, that is every day nag at me, right? So there is yourself. So there is these things that tailored for the individuals. Then there is the supervisors, especially for the new supervisors, right? How do I build teamwork? How do I get my people to understand, you know, why do we are chasing after deadlines or things like that? So they are tailored towards the different so-called people within the workplace, right? And of course, we know, besides ourselves, the people around us, there's also this whole environment, the environment at the workplace, the culture and things like that, right? So this is where My Life at Work is trying to address some of these factors that may affect the culture, like toxic culture. So there's one component, right? How to work in a place that is such a toxic culture. Yeah.
Imagine if teams or maybe divisions of people, when they come together, like, somebody, maybe the leader, actually could be anybody who picks one of the little quizzes and they all do it and compare, you know, how they turned out and, you know, as a way to learn about each other and share and understand each other a little bit better. Wouldn't that be a nice for our listeners out there?
Yeah, I think what you are probably going towards is like challenges, you know, the concept of like having team challenges, you know, where you can get different teams to like participate in different activities and gain points. And, you know, it's a form of competition maybe between like different divisions and seeing who did the most meditation exercise or like, you know, who learned the most about a particular topic at work, right? I think that's definitely something that we're trying to work towards, to work with organizations to, I mean, it's part of the whole concept of like a comprehensive workplace wellness program. So how do we work with the HR professionals within the organizations? How do we work with the leaders? Or how do we work with new joiners to see how, as a whole, we can build that culture within the organization to value well-being?
So there's whole things about, you know, when you build a culture, right? It starts with the person, the leaders, and as well as how do you engage with each other? After all, we are human, right? Human need the social interactions, the communications, the engagement. So that's the thing I talk about, the three E's, right? Engagement. So my life at work can be, you know, one of the tools that you use while you're engaging your people, right? And there are resources there. And you can even do like little quizzes about what is the, you know, what's the difference between depression and anxiety, for example, right? Yeah. So those are the, so that's the engagement part. So the second part is the empowerment. So the empowerment part is really, how do you provide the training, giving people the right tool to make them be able. So like, for example, we say, oh yeah, it's important to take care of your own mental well-being, but how do I go about doing it? So my life at work can provide them that, right? Little activities, some breathing exercises, and depending on your mood and things like that, tailored towards the individuals, right? And the third E is really about enablement. So, well, you have the HR, if your HR being very participative, promoting a lot of that. And I know, for example, you know, in the public service, there's a wellness ambassador, right? How do you get these people to be able to also increase their knowledge through using the My Life at Work as well?
This is wonderful. For all you listeners out there, if you have not done this yet, please go into Mindline SG and play with it. See what resources are there and share with your team members. If you think some of it is useful, there's videos, there's articles, there's little exercises you can do. And I guess one last question on this. You've been at this for about a year and a half. Obviously, I think every day you're thinking about how to enhance it and make it better. So can you describe your aspirations for what it would be for our country, our society, and everyone in Singapore?
I think when we started out this journey, we kind of wanted to have, a very non-ambitious goal, right? We just wanted to provide people with resources to tide them through the pandemic situation, which we know is a very stressful situation. But as we kind of got on this journey and understood a lot more about the potential of digital platform, of digital tools, we started to see actually there's a lot of things that we could do to build well-being in the population using something as simple as a web app. And with that, I think the potential to go deeper into meeting the needs of different target segments is there. So, for example, we started out with Mindline at Work, which targets working adults. The next segment that we are looking to go towards is to build a platform specific for younger population groups like students, like the teenagers, like the adolescents. So I think we think that their need could be quite different. They are all into TikTok and like, you know, the different types of social media platforms, right? So how could we work with them to co-create something that could meet their needs?
Yeah. The other part, I think with a lot of feedback, I think maybe Janice can elaborate a little bit more, is there are people finding it, chat with the AI chatbot, it's not human, you know. So people like to be able to talk to human, right? I think one of the things we are trying to do is how to create this seamless connection into human counselors, or perhaps even in the form of digital letter, or just a web chat kind of thing.
So there are many interesting, I think, ways that globally they have tried to reach out to, I think, particularly the younger group, which values anonymity, but also that group connection. So things like online group therapy, or ability to chat anonymously with a trained volunteer or with a peer, right? So they only like to talk to people of their same age group, right? When they see an adult, they're like, yeah, you know. So I think these are some of the different ways that we're thinking about of introducing it on the MindLine platform to get people comfortable with the concept. It's okay to talk to someone about your issues. You know, it's not something to be ashamed about. You know, there are resources and help out there to tide you through any issues that you might face.
It's okay not to be okay.
Yeah,
sorry
exactly.
to use that line, but yeah.
Absolutely. And one other things we are hoping to do is to perhaps work with the professional group and use MyLine.sg or in future MyLine Use or MyLine at Work as a supplementary tool for them, right? Because, I mean, you can only see the therapist once a week. Right. Or twice a week. You can't be seeing them every day 24/7. But MyLine is like a little companion for you, right? 24/7, free of charge anytime and in a safe space, you know. You can just chat with them and then you can feedback to your therapist, you know, how do you find and things like that. Of course, ideally, we have them all interconnected, lah, you know. It's like the whole integrated digital system from using MyLine and maybe one day even like, you know, people wearing all this digital thing like me like that, right? The digital phenotyping from there, it then links into the MyLine and from there it could connect into your counselors, therapists, and maybe your GPs, your friendly GPs, and maybe even your doctors in the hospital for some of them, and then link them all back. And importantly, for parents and caregivers, perhaps to be all interconnected. After all, we are in a very interconnected world.
So it sounds like you're all going to be very busy with this. So please take care of yourself along the way as well. You probably use the app as to support you along the way to be congruent here and test it out. So thank you so much, Janice and Wang Moy, for being here, sharing all your experiences and updating all of us about this wonderful resource that we have, MindLine.sg. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I'm your host, Douglas O'Loughlin. Follow us for new episodes and visit psd.gov.sg/challenge for more public service stories.